The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Come forward for a short announcement. For a short message.
Ask if any of you had ever been to the doctor, but I see a guy here with his arm in the cast. What happened?
I snapped it in karate.
You snapped it in karate. Then what happened?
Then I went to the hospital.
And then you went to the hospital. And then they
wrapped it.
Did they do x-rays? They did x-rays, and then they put your cast on. What do you suppose would happen if someone broke their arm and there was no hospital to go to? Then what? Have any of the rest of you been sick? Have you ever been sick? Did you have to go to the doctor? Did you get a shot? Was it awful? But did you get better? Yeah. Where we live, in East Africa, in the country of Tanzania, there are 22 million children under the age of 15 and no pediatric hospital for them. Some of the hospitals have pediatric units, but there's no specialized hospital for children. And in the whole country, with all those children, there are only 26 pediatricians. And 16 of those are in the big city of Dar es Salaam. So we're building a hospital to try and fix that problem. What do you suppose your mommy and daddy do when you get sick? What do mom and dad do when you get sick? They put you to bed. And if you're really, really sick, I can guarantee you one thing they do. They pray. They pray for you to get better. They do, yeah. Between us, Denny and I have 15 children and 33 grandchildren and 17 great-grands. There's a reason to work overseas. But I know that mommies pray and pray for their children to get better. Shall we say a little prayer together? Shall we say a prayer? Holy Spirit, thank you for doctors and nurses that work through you to make children better. You are the healer. And for that, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you. Are we up? Denny? Denny has spinal stenosis, so he's getting to the point where he needs to use this, we call it his pusher.
Out in Africa, and they put me together at Mayo Clinic pretty well, but it's not complete.
Okay. You want to, what do you want to, well, how are you going to sit? We have to get combobulated here. Okay, you get this. This gives him interruption privileges.
You see, I had a very wise Irish grandfather, and he told me one time, said, Denny, you always want to have the last word. He said, I always do. His grandma tells me what to do, and I say, okay.
Good training. We've been coming to this wonderful church family for over 15 years. Does that seem possible? And you people have been supporting us through three hospitals and our nursing school. And because of that support for International Health Partners, you have touched the lives of thousands of people in Tanzania. We're here to say thank you for that. Some of you know and some of you don't know how we got into this. Denny was a medical missionary doctor in Tanzania from 1958 to 1962. You want to tell him about your very first patient?
Well, my first patient was a cow that could not deliver the calf because she had the legs out, front legs out, but the head was turned back and was obstructing the labor. Now, being an old farm boy from Minnesota, I had grown up on a farm and had experienced that before. So I just pushed the calf back in to the mother and reached up and brought the head down, put it between the legs, and then the cow was able to deliver her calf. Now that ensured that the people would accept me as a doctor because I could take care of their cows.
So I asked him once, I said, honey, how many babies do you think you have delivered in your long medical career? And he says, oh, 4,000, 5,000.
When we're out in Tanzania now, every once in a while, an old person will come up and say, well, you delivered me.
But that happens once in a while. We were up in Pine River, Minnesota, where Denny had his first practice, his first family practice. And we went into a restaurant. We went to the bank, and then we went to this restaurant for lunch. And we asked the guy, you know, are you from this area? Oh, yeah, I was born here, you know. And we said, well, when were you born here? And then it was 1958. What month were you born here? And he says, well, April. And I said, do you know what doctor delivered you? And he said, no, but I'll go ask my mother. So he called his mother, and she said, well, it was Dr. Lofstrom. We got a free lunch. And the gal comes out and takes the picture with him. It was really, you know, having history with people makes a difference. And just like we have a history with you, it makes a difference. Now, as we said, Denny was a mission doctor in Tanganyika, that then became Tanzania while he was there. And then he came back to the U.S. and practiced in several different specialties. We started doing mission medicine in the late 80s. We went to Guatemala. We went 10 times over 15 years to Guatemala. Now, I didn't know that that was God's school at the time. I just thought it was doing missions. And We learned what the short-term mission people need from the long-term people that are there all the time. We worked with the Wycliffe Society then, the Bible translators. And we went with a team of about 50 people and did mission medicine. Well, I want to tell you about how that one incident worked when we were down in Guatemala. Denny was working in outpatient, and I was working in a step-down recovery. And in the operating room, they were doing a cleft lip and palate repair on a 9-month-old baby. And Dr. Paul Schultz is a fine plastic surgeon trained at Mayo Clinic. And he was teaching a Guatemalan doctor how to do this internal repair of cleft lip and cleft palate. And everything went beautifully on this little 9-month-old baby. Except it didn't wake up. And the anesthesiologist was a good guy and an experienced guy, and he did everything he could think of, and they couldn't wake that baby up. And at that point, Dr. Schultz, a fine Christian man, said, "Forget sterile technique now. All we can do is pray." And so everyone in that OR put their hand down on that baby and the other hand around the other person, and they prayed. If it had been me, I would have been praying, "I don't want to be the one to go to tell that mother that her baby's not alive." And they prayed. And they looked at that monitor. Boom. 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 Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. And that baby woke up. That baby was alive. Now, I was in another room. I was in step-down recovery. There were people all over that hospital. Everyone in that hospital knew that something had happened. They didn't know what had happened. We all didn't really know what had happened until we were together at eating and we discussed it. But everyone there, shamans, Indians who'd never heard of Jesus Christ, were there. And they knew that the Holy Spirit had descended upon that hospital and that something had happened. We are firmly rooted in prayer and in miracles. And in the business we're in, we get to see miracles. Now, people want to know, how was it that we managed to get to Tanzania? After the 10 trips to Guatemala, we actually worked a year in Antarctica. And we left northern Minnesota in January in the winter. And we overwintered in Antarctica. And when we came back to Minnesota, it was winter. And I said, "Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm sick of winter." What I didn't know is that God said, "Oh, how about the equator?" That took a couple of years, but we were down in our, we sold the land in Minnesota. I said, "I'm getting away from winter," and we bought land in Arkansas. And we were building our own home down there on the side of a mountain that goes down to Bull Shoals Lake. And we were building our own home. They said, "Hand me the hammer, honey." We were building our own home. And I sat on my prayer bench. It overlooks the lake. It's a beautiful place. And we've always had this mission bent to our lives. We didn't know exactly what we were going to do, but we knew we'd do something. Because God had given us these gifts, we were going to do something. And there was a free Christian clinic down in Mountain Home. We thought maybe one day a week we'd go give service, but we didn't know. So I sat down on my prayer bench that day, and I said, "Holy Spirit, you've only given us these gifts to give them away. So help me not be too deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid to know what it is you want us to do next." into prayer. 8 days later, our friend Mary Katundu called us and asked us if we could go back and do a survey on a little hospital right next to where Denny had been all those years ago, because they needed to know what was there, was it worth rehabilitating, and if it was, what would it take and what would it cost to do? And we were to remain absolutely objective. Okay.
That was only to be a 10-week survey. Now, that was 17 years ago.
You're getting ahead of me. So a few days later on, I was sitting on my prayer bench again, which one of us has threatened to burn down. And now, I told you, we have all these children. And right at the moment, as far as I knew, nobody was in crisis. So my prayer could be rather generalized. Now, let's talk about prayer. Okay, sometimes prayer is just words. Sometimes prayer is repetitive, and that's very, very comforting. And sometimes you know you're connecting. And this particular afternoon, sitting on my prayer bench, I said my thank yous. Always start with thank you. I probably said a few gimme gimmies. And then I knew I was in the presence. I knew it. And a voice came down to me as clear as a telephone call. I think it was Charlton Heston's voice. And said, "Are you prepared to give the rest of your life to this work?" Now? You mean it? Do I have to answer? We're building a house here. I want to make clothes for my grandchildren. I wasn't sure about that question. But we did get out to Iambi, and it served 175,000 people, so yes, it was needed. It had been a 170-bed hospital, but it had pretty much run down the tubes. They were only seeing two or three patients a day, and they only had two or three patients in the hospital. So, yes, it was needed, and it needed to be rehabilitated. So, okay, what's there? That means inventory, all right? So room by room by room, by cabinet, by desk, by drawer, we were starting an inventory. And so I walked into this one office of the public health nurse, and she's sitting there writing at her desk. And so I kind of stood in the doorway waiting to be noticed, you know, like a little kid in school. And she looks up at me, and she said, "You're the one I've been praying for." And in that split second, I knew my life had changed. Arkansas, Lake, children, everything now changed. Because I knew that this was the question that God had been preparing me to answer. That was 17 years ago. We rehabilitated Iambi Hospital with your help. That's when we started coming here. And after 4 years, we turned it over to the people that we trained in, and we thought we'd go back to Arkansas and retire. But that's when six different bishops, Lutheran bishops, called us and said, "Come do for us what you did for them." And the CSSC, the Christian Social Services Commission, said, would we come and let them help us find some place? So we were offered 13 projects. We looked at six, and we chose Mwanza as the place of most need, and with the infrastructure that you needed to build a hospital. The diocese there owned 32 acres of land. They had a building we could convert to a clinic, and there was a house for us to live in. So over the next 6 years, we built Nyakato Health Center. And when we turned that over to the east of Lake Victoria Diocese of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania, we had 122,000 active charts. Every one of you has a finger in that pie. You helped serve every one of those people. But while we were there, we realized that for all the children in that country, there was no special pediatric hospital. And suddenly, God's plan was revealed. Suddenly, we knew this is what it was all about. And that's why we have started to build Zynga, the children's hospital at Zynga. Denny and I are not the only ones in charge, believe me. We have a fabulous team of people that work. We have the PALs that are coming out as soon as the birthing center is open. We have another young couple that's coming out in 5 years. He's a doctor, she's a teacher. 6 years after that, we have another young couple coming out who are both doctors. It goes on and on. So this will be the final hospital that International Health Partners tries to build. We also have the largest nursing school, and I'll tell you about that if you come see our presentation. In David Brooks' book, The Road to Character, he talks about Adam 1 and Adam 2. Adam 1 and Adam 2 are the same person, okay? Adam 1 is the you that you put on your resume. I did this and I did that and I was successful here and I can manage this and I raised sales and I did and I did and I did and aren't I wonderful and don't you want to hire me? That's Adam 1. Adam 2 is the you that they talk about at your funeral. And how much of that resume stuff is there? Because at the funeral, we talk about what a good person he was. We talk about how he helped his neighbors. We talk about how he was in the service, or how he helped his church, or how he was good to his children, how he mowed the neighbor's lawn, or whatever. We talk about the goodness that is in each of our souls. It is service. It is service that Jesus came to teach us. It is service to one another. It is the love that God poured through Jesus to us that Jesus came to talk to us about. And so it is in service that we find the most satisfaction. If you think about in your lives what has made you feel the very best about who you are, think about that for a second. What do you feel best about what you have done so far in your life? And I'll bet a lot of it has to do with what you did to help others. I think that we are hardwired to want to give service. And I think that God gave every single one of us the talent to do his work to make life better for others. And that's why he sent Jesus to show us how to do it. He is the way shower. Denny and I have been blessed to do what we do. You can't outgive God. Can't be done. You can keep trying. It can't be done. And for each of you that has supported this work, or mowed your neighbor's lawn, or blown their snow, or given service to your country in the service, or worked with Rotary or Kiwanis or Lions Clubs to make the world a better place, you are in service. And for that, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.